And welcome, everyone. And I want to acknowledge Ann Hedges and Ginny Keller, who helped put the data together. And many of you may know Ann. And Ann retired as being our administrator. She was our school health administrator for 15 years and retired at the end of last school year. I have nothing to disclose. And I'm going to describe to you a little bit about Palm Beach County. And we are very, very fortunate in Palm Beach County, Florida, that we have a lot of interest in school health by the folks who fund it, which are the taxpayers, because we are a special taxing district, the health care district, and we use our tax dollars to fund the school health program. And the fact that, you know, we have that local source is very important. We've got a lot of students in Palm Beach County schools, and we still have one registered nurse in every one of the 167 schools. So we have a huge staff. We've got about 220 total. Some of our schools are very large, 4,000, 5,000 students, so they have two school nurses. We don't always hit the ratios we'd like, but... And we require heavily it's a partnership so that the health department, the Florida Department of Health, actually has a statutory responsibility for school health in Florida, but they have no money. So they don't really contribute a whole bunch to what we do. And the school district, though, is a good partner for us. And, of course, they are, you know, we're in their space, and we're very cognizant of that relationship and try to keep that going. A very large school district. We're the 11th largest in the U.S., 5th largest in Florida. There's our ratio there. We do about a 1 to 779. And a lot of services, we have a lot of alternate schools, and we're not always in those alternate schools because, again, with our model that we try to keep one registered nurse dedicated for each school, we try not to share schools so much. If the alternate school is on the site of a regular campus, the nurse will generally cover both schools. And, you know, just the nursing practice statement that you're all pretty familiar with, and I won't kind of read it to you, but, you know, nurses are very important. And as we're challenged with people losing insurance and families not having coverage, and, you know, Palm Beach County is very deceptive. We have a large number of kids who are impoverished. 60% of the kids get free and reduced lunches. It just is not a really rich area as you'd think it would be. Here's our staffing model here. As you can see, we've got lots of school nurses. We've got 10 supervisors. Palm Beach County is a very large county, too. It's 40 miles by 40 miles. So most people are clustered on the coast where most of the population lives, but we have a rural area called the Glades or Belle Glade. Y'all might be familiar with very, very poor agricultural area. We have about 20 schools out there, and those, you know, have their own kind of needs. The very important thing, too, is that we have an electronic medical record, and so that child may be in one school one day, and parents move, and they're in another school the next day. There's no records to move around. And it's also nice when you put together data like this because it's all there. The nurses go through various training, and we make sure that they have an international trauma life support for the pre-hospital care providers because they still call 911 from time to time, too. Then we have emergency care and the injury response program of the Illinois Emergency Medical Services. And then we have a number of disaster and preparedness plans. And, you know, this Hurricane Sandy that's now hitting the northeast coast, we had down in Florida over the weekend, and we closed schools for 2 days because of the wind. And the school district does not run buses if the wind is above 35 miles an hour. Well, the wind was 40 miles an hour, so they closed schools. So, you know, we're all involved in that emergency response as partners there. 705,000 student health services. This is last year's data, and you can see medication visits and non-medication visits. We still do scoliosis screening, I'm embarrassed to say, because it's a state law, and you know, you have to report it to the state, and we've been a number of times up to the state legislature to try to get that removed. Hasn't happened yet. But we do have 10 vision and hearing techs that, you know, go and do the vision and hearing screening, a very important piece of what they do. And then the nurses are involved in making sure that those kids that fall out of screening do get services. And then we have been doing BMI screening for about 10, 15 years, and I'll have some data for you to show right there. Has been pretty consistent. And our school district is very, very good about food. They got rid of, the special foods about 8 years ago now, and they really have healthy choices, and they as a whole try to pursue wellness. But again, we know what a problem obesity and childhood obesity is in all of our schools. This is also last year's data. 15% of our student population has some kind of identifiable chronic health disease. And this is, it's getting a little higher every year. And when we kind of look at the numbers over time, it's the allergies, either mild or severe, and the asthma. And when you take those two together, you know, it's about 75% of all the visits and all the conditions that nurses are identifying. And you can see there a smattering of other things. The ADHD is pretty high. Look at epilepsy and diabetes. So, you know, those are very prevalent in our school system. And so here really comes the challenge that, you know, nurses will assess and identify these children, and do they have a source of medical care? And, you know, again, we're challenged. We have a lot of poor kids, and generally the poor kids, if they're U.S. citizens, you're great. You can get them into some kind of program. We have a lot of undocumented folks because, again, it's an agricultural community. Lots of the parents are workers in the fields. Another point on that asthma, another piece of what we do agriculturally is we grow sugar cane, and they burn sugar cane. And, you know, the cane growers have all sorts of exemptions for the pollution laws, but, you know, at November, December, January, February, where they're burning, you're going to have X more number of kids, you know, in your health room with asthma, and you'll be doing more treatments. So that's a condition. Nurses also do syndromic surveillance for the health department, and we do influenza-like illness this time of year. So last year's data was there, and so each year they'll put to each week they'll put together through our electronic record the number of kids seen with influenza-like illness and provide that back to the state. So again, the integration of the program is important, and particularly with those children we see that have that chronic disease. Where do we get them into health coverage? Our nurses spend a lot of time liaising with various social service agencies. They participate in all the wellness initiatives in the school. The principal usually chooses a wellness initiative, but the nurses have a big piece in the instruction and kind of moving that agenda forward. And then, of course, keeping that collaboration with the school district, because, you know, the school district wants kids back in school, you know, and they want kids back to class, because for every child that stays in class, you know, they get more dollars. So, you know, they have their kind of biases to what the kid needs to be and where the child needs to be. So, and to put it into perspective, again, because our school health program is in our broader health system, we do a lot of other programs that our nurses then are able to access. And just kind of taking the continuum of care from conception, and some of our nurses do service children up to age 22 through the special education programs. The district has a maternal child, a maternal care program, MHC program, that any woman who's not sober eligible, doesn't have coverage, is able to get maternity care in some of our clinics. So we have the conception to birth taken care of. Once the child is born, you know, we can get coverage in one of our health programs. We have a Medicaid HMO that we run within our health care district, but there's also the state childhood health programs, which are Florida Healthy Kids. And then we have a coordinated care program. We don't really care for a lot of children in that program. That generally is folks we can't get into Medicaid. But, you know, a lot of our schools, also the moms, teenage moms, bring the babies to school. So our school nurses get involved in the care of those babies of their students at a very young age. And then from kindergarten to grade 12, we again have a number of programs where our nurses can refer, and then for those special needs kids. And then underlying it all, we also run the trauma centers, and we have two pediatric trauma centers in the county, too. So our nurses frequently use that because they're a resource for the injury prevention piece that the nurses do. And Florida, we got lots of water, so it's a lot about drowning and that sort of preventive sort of services that they want to do in schools. And how do we fund it? And that's probably the most important thing. And so the healthcare district, and again, that's my agency, we put in $12 million, and the school district puts in $2.5 million. The dollars that we have, our budget for the healthcare district, we're about a $250, $260 million agency. So it's not a large amount of our total budget, but it is a large amount of what we tax. So that we tax, it's about 10% of our tax dollars. So that report then that we do back to the general public is so important. And they want to be able to see that those children that they have in schools with chronic diseases are being serviced by the nurses and then are being referred out for additional services when needed so that they can get care. And again, we have this kind of breakdown in the school district. You know, should they be paying more or not is kind of the issue we have because they benefit more than anything else. Because again, by having that nurse there, not only do you get the child back to school, but think of all the time saved from that assistant principal, that clerk who's not sitting with a sick child waiting for mom to pick them up or not dealing with that services. And when you put that together, that value of the community, and we did that, and you may be familiar, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation did that study about 4 years ago looking at community value. Ours comes out to about $30 million. So we feel really good about putting that amount of tax dollars in locally for the program. And that's my last slide. Thank you.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.